Greetings to the congregation, and greeting those who are worship on the internet through live stream. We thank the Lord. You have seen the video showing how we have contributed to the project at a call. This was a small person, but working with to great success. When we plan about the few problems, we could not imagine the challenging things that we only just want to divide it through. But when we think about it, how could we to build a wall that could be movable so that we can have a room, large or small, when we need it? We must buy in that wall in China. That was above my thinking, but we need to buy from there and then ship from there to here. And from we have to came to Aurora to receive it. All that is so outside of my imagination. Not to mention to draw the all the measurements. All of that was thought out by the team to buy the material and to find it out carefully. And this is something we are very thankful. Our lesson today has the title, Poison in the Soup. And this title is based on the story you have read. This is a miracle. We would not, a soup stew was poisoned because of the wild berries. But then Elisha used it, a flour to make a, and put it in a pot and the poison disappeared. The one I want to share with you is this miracle has reminded us something here. Is there something for us here? Is there any relationship with her? There's a story about a mother with three sons. When the son grew up, and so his mother is of age, they appreciate, they want to give her in her old age, and the older son decided to buy a large house for her. The second son decided to buy a Mercedes, to give to her mother. And the third son thought he would not be able to think, but he heard somebody say there might be the train to the parents, 12 years, and this parent can read the Bible. We can ask him which book, what font. And then this parent can respond. And this youngest son, oh, this is a very special gift for my mother. So three of them give different gifts to the mother. And when they received the gift, the mother said like this. The first son, she said, thank you for giving me the house. But this house is too, I only live in one room. And I could not cover the whole house. That would be very tiring. The second son, thank you for your car, the Mercedes, the big gracious. But now I'm so old, I could not go anywhere. I do not want to drive either. But the tax is very high for this car. And then the third son, she said, you are a very good boy. You understand me? So you have given me a parrot. You know what? I eat this parrot. It's better than the chicken. Dear congregation, this mother would not understand the motivation of giving the parents what we do, where we serve the Lord, has a value for others around us. Based on the story, we think about three things. The first thing is the need that we must be concerned with, the problem that we face, and the third is how we solve the problem. Let's pray for our guidance from the Lord. Dear our Father, we thank you because throughout the year in this pandemic, you have kept your children into your hand to have peace. Though we know many places are facing difficulties, many churches, even those who are serving, also facing with this pandemic. But if we have, we all have been protected by your hand. Though anything that happened to us, we know that there is a God among us. He has a providence in all. He knew everything about us, and you always have a way to help us. May your word this morning encourage, teach us our responsibility, our role, to understand when we're facing problems that happen into our life, that you will always have a way for us to solve. Because may your word teach us this morning. We lift everything into your hands and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing, let's think together, is that the need that we should be concerned with in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38, recounted a story of Elisha returned to Gilgal when there was a famine in that region. And then there's a story that happens that the soup has been poisoned. Gilgal is a place many memories to the Israelites. That's the valley before Jericho that when Israel crossed the Jordan River and God called Joshua to bring the 12 rocks from the Jordan River, when they crossed the Jordan, and that's where the high rise, the people could not walk through the Jordan, but God has caused a miracle, just like opened the Red Sea for the Israelite escape from Egypt. And one more time, the Jordan River has been a dry land so that the people can walk over it. And God said, each tribe must bring a rock from the depth of Jordan to bring, and there are 12 rocks. And put in Gilgal to make a memory that God has parted the river of the Jordan so the people can cross and dry land. And that memory is still remained with the Israelites. And Gilgal is also a place, the first place they put their foot on here. In all 40 years in the wilderness, there was a manna from heaven came down. And they use that to eat. They don't have nothing to plant for 40 years during the wilderness. More than 2 million people that receive food every day for 40 years. That is a miracle. And that is what, with God, nothing is so difficult. They live for 40 years like that without having to plant anything. They have manna from heaven, but the time they put into Gilgal, they eat the fruits of the land, and manna never fall from it again. So Gilgal left the memories in the Israelites. This is a promised land. This is a place God had promised the Abrahams 430 years ago, and now they have put foot on the promised land. This is a memory worth to be remembered. This is Gilgal, also the place the first time Joshua kept the word of the Lord to make the ceremony to, after 40 years, they did not believe in God. And during that journey, some of them died. There are only two remaining, Joshua and Caleb. The people in that during generation can be put their foot on the promised land. So the people who put the new generation from the Israelites, but they were retold by the son, and Joshua performed circumcision to commemorate, to have a covenant. This is a holy person, a holy people belonging to God. And afterwards, Samuel the Agag was beheaded by Joshua, by Amalekites is the people who prevented Israel from coming into the promised land. So they became the enemies of God because they prevented the people to reach the promised land. And when Israel came into the promised land, they met Saul, is the first king of Israel. And Amalekites was trying to destroy the Amalekites because of their sin. But Saul has used Agag, the king of Amalekites, and from there, all the possession of the people, they have to destroy everything belonging to the Amalekites. And Samuel was used to kill the king of Amalek. I have to destroy the Amalekites because of their sin. So Gilgal is a place that there are many memories for the Israelites. And from Ahab, king of Ahab, God raised up Eli, Elijah, and Elijah was lift up to heaven. That the Elisha is the second of the student of Elijah, and there are many. Gilgal is center of to train the prophets of the Lord, and at that time, according to verse 43, there were 100 prophets being trained there in Gilgal. And there's something happened. We see now there was a famine in the region. And before, for King Ahab, the 3.5 years, there was no rain in the land. So nobody could plant. Many places were influenced. And even here, there is no plant to grow. And the famine is the result from the from Ahab until now, there was nothing could be planted, so nobody can have to gather anything from that land. So that all the prophets of Elijah, these prophets are students at this training center. They have nothing to eat there. When they return to Gilgal, Elisha said to his servant, bring us stew, put a large pot, and cook some few for these prophets. 100 prophets. To cook for 100 people is not just a servant. One servant. This, the Bible said, this servant is someone to cook for this pot means that he find a way to cook for the 100 person to eat, but what to cook? What to cook here? And the servant had to go out and get the wild berries out in the field that can eat so that they can bring home to cook for these prophets. So to cook this is a need of everyone. And each one must have a contribution. This servant maybe go to pick up the fire, but others must find something, some ingredients to cook and to put it in the pot to eat together. It is not just one servant or not just one person, but in among many prophets, each one went out to find something so that they can bring home and put it in the pot of stew so that they can share together. This is something I thought it is a need, always need for each one of us. We could not, because of the famine, that we forget our need. It's impossible. Need is a need that we need to solve. But the famine could happen, but at least they don't have the flour to cook or the rice to cook. They have to go out and find something that they could eat. Though the famine, that there is a little rain, maybe a few plants grew, but it's not enough at that time to supply for the need of the people. So going out to find whatever they can find is also an impossible task. It's not easy, but each one must contribute to have a part to share together. When I think about the project that we have shared together to complete so that we have these beautiful rooms in the back to renovate our church. It's a very great deed, but the contribution of each one, even the youngest one, so that we have accomplished a beautiful result like today. That is, during this time, even more than half a year, we have contributed. Nobody was sick. Nobody was no accident. We praise the Lord for that and be thankful because we have witnessed from the Lord the strength and the health, the condition to contribute, to participate in this project. And so the six that represent us, those that each week, almost every week, they were present here. They left behind their business to come and serve the Lord. And this is, we give thanks to the Lord. Each one of us has a contribution to cause a beautiful soup of stew to share together. Each one of us, that each one of us, not because of this pandemic, we forget our spiritual need. You have a need. Yes, I have a need. And you also have a need. But though the situation may be different, may be challenging, we could not be gathering. We do not have fellowship after we don't have the condition to fellowship together like before. But praise be to God, we have the system to live stream this worship, and this is from there. We didn't have, and because of this pandemic, now we put together this equipment. And some of us, what we know to put together a system to live stream this through worship, through Zoom, for the times that we could not worship in person. We thank the Lord because through Zoom is not just our church, but every week there are many others from different states, even Vietnam. They came and worshiped each week because there is a need. A spiritual need. Thanks be to God because we are giving, contribute each one so that we can lift up the body of Christ. Dear congregation, the meal is needed to maintain our life, that our spirit also need the word of God to maintain our spiritual life. And the wilderness that they went in verse 39, one of them went out into the fields to gather herbs. This is not the field where the fruits are. This is very dry land at that time. They had to find something. And then in the wilderness means that represent the world that the children must come into. You and I are in the world that God put us there. Here, they don't have anything to cook with, but at least everyone can go out, find something out there so that they can have some herb to bring back. Maybe you don't have the ability, but each one of us have a contribution, maybe some offering there, also their time and their challenge. But God is warning us that when we walk in this wilderness of this world, though our life is facing many challenging of this pandemic here, even in Vietnam, it's influenced the whole world. But the condition is challenging. But maybe we don't have a job like before. We have to take care of our family and the study of our children because of that. There are so many problems, but with thanks be to God, we still have a need that we have to be concerned. That is the spiritual need. We could not forget that great spiritual need. The key verse said, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteousness be shaken. The righteous be shaken. So you and I, do we see at the moment that we have a responsibility, we have a role to serve, to bring something to bring to the soup of this church, the stew pot? Do you see your presence in the church? Is your contribution? Is a contribution. Dear congregation, we have a need, the spiritual need, for you and I must be concerned with, so that we make our spiritual life grow up. The second point, to this point, we think about the problem that we have to face. In verse 39 it says, then one of them went out to gather fields together, herbs, and found a wild and vine and picked as many as it grows as his garment could hold. When he returned, he cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The congregation. A person bring wild berries and carry it in his garment and put it in the pot of stew, and they don't know what that was. Is that dangerous? Yes. It's very dangerous to bring something we don't know into the pot. When they thought, I can find something there, and so he wild berries, something maybe edible. And therefore, they thought that, oh, maybe we could eat this. But he didn't know that those things could be poisoned. Outside, that fruit looked good. Thought that, hey, everybody could eat this. And then they can't eat, picked the whole full of his garden. But he never knew that what he picked must be something that could not be eaten, and heart bring back a wild berries. And that image made me remember Eva in the Garden of Eden. God, everything that here you can eat, except for at the middle, the tree of knowledge of evil and good. Once you eat it, you will die. God is very clear about this. Don't touch, don't look. Obey the command. But one time, Satan appeared as a serpent and deceived. You don't die. When you eat it, you be wise like God, because God did not want to be wise. Okay? So Eva saw that fruit looks like it's a precious one. Maybe it tastes good. This is just seeing the fruit, that feel that it looks good and feel good and taste good, and then pick up the fruit and eat it and gave it to her husband. And afterward, Adam and Eve come in, not just Eve. The Eve has eaten something who picked up it. When Eve ate it, received the commendation and gave it to the husband, and husband also be condemned. Adam and Eve has committed a greater sin, a disobedient, because he ate something, a forbidden fruit from God. I think that this forbidden fruit is always very beautiful. Whatever is forbidden seems to be very good. What we do not have, that means forbidden. But we want always have that we don't have. There's a story about a father and sister saw a beautiful garment. And so the shop said the more they looked, the more beautiful it became. And it came and tried on and bought it on home. And the pastor said, oh, when I use it, I want to buy this to wear it for the conference. $300 for this dress. You know, hearing the pastor said, he turned on, do you know our salary was only more than $1,000 and you spent $300 for the dress? But this is a beautiful dress. If I bring this to the conference, everybody will respect me. But you think this is a waste? Only $1,000 a weight. We have to manage this money by buying a $300 dress. That is a waste. I think the pastor said, is it necessary? But to buy somebody $300 during the time when we have a limited wage, that is a very wasteful spending. That we are the manager of God's money. So, all of that situation, you have to say, oh, Satan, go behind me. And the person, yeah, when I wear it and say, well, over the, oh, you're beautiful on your dress, and I could not resist. The forbidden is always very beautiful. Your life and mine. Do we ever put in a situation to be deceitful like that? In Hebrew, in the Greek, the wild berries. The wild berry means that something crooked. That means what? It means that whatever is forbidden, whatever is wild, is not in the straight path on what the Lord wants us to want. When this person picked the wild berries back, represents all the beauty of this world, a sinful beauty. Jesus has said to his apostle, I am the vine. My father is a planter, but the true vine, no one can see. They want to go out and pick the wild berries instead of the true vine. But the wild berries, the more it is forbidden, the more it becomes beautiful. When our Christian today like to find those wild berries more than the true vine or the true grapes on the vine, this is something dangerous. We think that many went out, each one of us can bring back something, but this person went out to pick a wild berry that could not eat. That the Bible said. That person never knew what it was. Brought it back in the pot. Thought that we are doing a good thing. Is that good or bad? It brings a dangerous because it becomes poison. Why? Because of that wild berry. This is something reminded yours and mine. That in our lives, when we go into the world, what do we bring back to the church so that we can all enjoy in the church? What we bring is from the Lord, or what we bring from the world into the church? What we bring, the true grapes vine, or we can bring back our wild berries that influence this church? So what we have to bring together to build the body of Christ, is it a wild berry? Has a negative impact on the spiritual life of each one of us here? Maybe we be careful. Even only one can put, but the whole soup stew will be poisoned. You and I bring a wild berry to the church. The church will have no value of that. But we give thanks to the Lord here. They have tasted and they say, oh man of God, there is death in this pot. Oh, when I look at this, I give thanks to the Lord. Which one do we want to be? The one to pick the berries and put in the pot, or the one who tastes it and say, there is death here? We will be bring danger to the church, or we will be a person warn the church that there is danger here. Which one would we like to be? So the Bible taught us be alert. And this is the meaning of the Lord for all his children. When we are in the world, to be alert. If we are not be careful of the forbidden that we have the Lord, maybe we are bring a wild berry into the church, to our family, to the church, and then the whole family will be destroyed. The whole church will be destroyed. We could not eat that fruit because it was put in the pot that caused others to become useless. So may God help us to be careful, because the enemy is Satan. Just like the roaring lions, they were trying to find anyone who he can devour. May God help us see that there's a problem that we have facing. That is the sinful problem. If our lives to be part of the world with those who have no problem, maybe your life and my spiritual life is being in the wrong path. I want to say this not just because we don't associate with anyone to separate our relationship, but God is warning us, we have to be careful. In all our relationship, we have to be alert. And this is not the others. This is the enemies of God that causes problem. It will cause us to be wrong. When we are in the world, that maybe there are so many problems here. Many of us elderly here is, we'll talk about own sickness. When they are old, they talk about the sickness. May God give us strength and health for each one. May we have the job that can bring us adequate supplies each day. May we be helped to teach our children to walk in His way. During this world, there's many burdens, many chaotic happening. Put our cares on the Lord. Test our cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Because He will not let the righteous be shaken or face difficulty. The third point that we think about, solving our problem. We have a problem. We must solve it. This is a story about all the devils to try to destroy the body security. And they bring the what they have on and say, has destroyed everything from the church that belonged to God. We have to destroy everything that belongs to God. But the other one said no. So they want to use it to run around. Other devils they talk about like this. What they have bring here to bring here from the church. And Satan said, and that's the truth of God that we're having. The truth? That we could not use the truth to destroy that church? But the truth would destroy the devil's word. The other step, no problem. Why? The truth is very important. We only find some. I think that they would use it to become a religion. And this story told us something. The gospel that we have is not religion. It is the relationship, a personal with us, with God. Not religion. The devil can use a few truths and establish a religion that we can walk in that religion and thought that we are correct. But no. We are incorrect when we don't have a relationship with our Lord. We are in wrong path when we live in a faith that we do not need others, that we don't need God. We need each other. We need to live with God and with each other to build the body of Christ for our spiritual need. That story gave us the one who warned, there is death in this path. There is a problem. They come to the person of God. That means Elisha. And told him, there is poison here. Our problems that we are facing, we bring it to whom? We find a few person has some wisdom in this world to solve. We bring this for someone, our friend, to resolve. Or you and I can bring our problem to the Lord to solve. There is a way to solve our problems. Is come to the Lord. They don't know. They bring this, their need. But this need is facing a problem because of this poison pot that they bring to the person of the Lord. Elijah said, bring a few flour for me. And he put it in the pot. Now, you can bring it and eat it. Your congregation. He said, Elijah did the right thing. Did Elisha listen to someone to put a flower in the pot? No. This the miracle of God. This is something experienced from Elisha. So don't buy the flower in your house and use it. This is the relationship with the Lord. And when Elisha declared that, and so this is something we've done before and from experience. No. What caused Elisha to do the flower in the pot? Because he has a relationship with the Lord, and God commanded whatever he does, he does. If God commanded put the flower there, he would obey. But this miracle belonged to the Lord. In Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1, when we bring the offering, the Israelite has many different offerings. The burnt offering, the whole lamb was burned. And so also the offering of repentance. They can bring the offering, the thankful fruit, the offering for the offering of fruit. And so when the offering in Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1, when anyone brings a grain offering to the Lord, their offering is to be a finest flour. They are to pour olive oil on it, put incense on it, so that the fragrance will be pleasing to the Lord. The finest flour with olive oil and incense on it. That means that they could not buy a lamb or buy a bigger offering. They can only have the opportunity to buy the finest flour. And even that must have a pleasing aroma to the Lord. That means to us, the offering that we bring to the Lord is must be, has a fragrance to the Lord. What we bring to the Lord that caused that happen. Is that a lot of money? No. Or many hours in the contribution? No. Your faith. That is the true faith when we make our offering to have a pleasing aroma when we praise the Lord. Or we do something, or we contribute to cook something for the church. All that we are to serve the Lord and must come from your faith. The faith in God. Faith must be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The pot has poison, but the finest flower has lived up, become something is pleasing to the Lord. You and I face many problems. Many problems could be poison, but the finest flower to the Lord, that is, will be something to lift our burden away, to lift the poison from our life. Our situation could be a burden, but we put our burden into us that we be lifted up by the Lord and sustain, because He will make the righteous not shaken. Finest flour is used to make the baked bread. And the Jesus told Israel, I am the living bread. Whoever to receive this bread, that will always live. So the flour is an ingredient that God is using to make a miracle among the people. What is living to the Lord, God used it to make a miracle for the people of God. Dear congregation, the faith that you and I have can bring to the Lord, it became an aroma pleasing. And from there, God will make people praise, because God has given us the miracle to maintain and restore the room. This, to me, is so wonderful. Thanks be to God, because God gives us each the wisdom from time to time. We are facing this challenge, but God opened the doors for us so that we can complete this project according to our plan. When you and I do without our effort, our God will do His task. That is, He will make a miracle happen. Elisha just only do what he was told, to pour the flour. The rest God to care. But the miracle belongs to God. The poison of stew, then they can eat without eating. I want to give a story of a couple. And this story recorded in been recorded, and this is has been posted on Facebook. Is a witness of Mr. Lop, and the wife is Miss Ngoc, and some of us have read about the story on Facebook, and this witness is very moving. When they were married, they have a son. And with 8 months in pregnancy, everything was normal. But she was born early in the 8th month. And Tien Hung is her name. And so they discovered the legs of the baby were bent. Why didn't the doctor tell us about this? They couldn't see it through the picture. But now we're born with a bow leg. And they were so sad because of this deformation. And after that, after 5 months, and so they were finding their face become red and purple. And went back to the hospital, and they let them, he has a heart condition. The valve of his heart is not there. And so the blood could not circulate properly. So this body has lack of oxygen. And this is something this couple was very concerned. And so when they looked through their son in the hospital, only at the 1st month, different kind of equipment helping the child to live and breathe. And so they have to make IV to put the nutrition in the body of the child. And for the whole month, Tien Hung has been used to support by this IV and oxygen to help the child breathe. After another month, the doctors recommended to bring the child home because we could not keep this child here for a long time because of this heart condition that is above what we can resolve. And some said, why don't we bring the child home? The relatives of now, if God gives him the child life, we do not need the equipment to sustain him. But if Lord's will to go, may the soul of this child be in God's hand, rest in God's hand. And they pray, dear God, I only want to lift this child before you. But this child is a condition like this. And during the why reminded in the old time when Joshua left, lead the people through two children, and they carry the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible said when they put their feet onto the Jordan, and then the water parted. But that is a high tide time. But the prophets who carried the Ark of Covenant, they put their foot there, it became dry land. And the congregation, both the couple decide to bring the child home. And the wife said, as a mother, to bring a child home without the help of the equipment, maybe I'm killing her, this child. But now, there is no other way. That child could not rest in the hospital forever like that. So her salary is only very few. So they pray with the Lord to bring the child home afterward. And the child will bring the oxygen tank to breathe, to resonate. The second time, another time, we decided to give this to the Lord. We would not use this equipment. And they took this oxygen tank away. Then the child was very convulsive. And afterward, he could breathe. And so, not And so the IV is still there to put nutrition in the body, the child still there. Then when the nutrition came in, they said, when we decide, I'll put our faith in the Lord, must be complete. So they removed the IV. So the wife was very concerned, but when she prayed with the Lord, she felt like, this is so difficult. If I remove the tube, would I kill the child? By faith, they removed the tube for the IV. And so they fed him with the milk. And then the child started to eat. Praise be to God. Thanks be to God. What happened in the first few months? And they let them know that the child condition, they could not survive that way. And they were very disappointed and very heavy. From all the hospital from in Vietnam, from Saigon to Hanoi, they could not heal this child. They don't have even money to spend. They said, to operate at least must be weight. This child is only about 6 pounds. It's not enough to make an operation. And, but there is a hospital there with willing to help and pay for all the operational costs. In 1 year, this child to have 2 times operate on the heart. I think this is too much. And God has made a miracle. God gave after being operated on the couple. When I received the child, I would not think that's my child. But the face is always red and purple. And so now, I could not believe that the face of the child is not normal again. And all the doctors to correct the lower legs, because it's so weak, they only do it one at a time to correct the lower leg. And with the teacher, the second doctor, he could not. The leg has done so many miracles. Dear congregation, that child, in the first few years, when the cost of the hospital could be a trillion of Vietnamese dollar, only by faith can God can supply, God give all the doctors, all the nurses, and all the supplies that we could have this child like this. We are concerned, but maybe they forgot all their burdens. Because the child has been made, create something that they could not imagine. They concluded their witness by this statement. Before, I was a Christian, but only a Christian to attend church. But now, I am a Christian that I have an experience with the Lord. This is what we need to resolve any problems in our life. We have to have a relationship with the Lord. Misnah used in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 11. All the discipline may be something of a burden, but later it will bear fruit. The peace of those who are wanting to discipline. The child with this bow leg became an opportunity to train this couple. And he encouraged all the Christians. I encourage you, I challenge you, when we put faith in the Lord, we understand that faith must relate to the Lord. We have to be in that relationship so we can experience what God can create in our life. We know who we believe. God always has a way to resolve our problems. Doesn't matter what it is. But the faith, is it the true faith or faith just to attend to? The key verse encourages each of us Cast our care on the Lord, and He will sustain us. He will never let the righteous be shaken. May God bless each one of you to have a strong relationship of our faith with God. The pot is poison, but the miracle has destroyed the poisonous and became something that's edible. Let's all stand and read together the key verse before we end. Let's all read. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Let's pray. Dear our loving Father, we thank the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created our lives, that give us the wisdom so that we call you our Father in heaven. During this time of this world, that the sin has left us a result that is suffering, and even what today we are facing with this COVID, that means this is the problem that we are facing that caused death. Though we may suffer in our economic time, it caused our health to suffer. God is teaching us that we always have a way out. God always the answer for our problems. So please help us understand the important thing that we have to see our spiritual need. We need the life in your word. May you help us to love your word so that we can discover one who we are worshiping has the power to save. Whatever our problem, but God is always our answer for our problems. We give thanks to you because the blessing that you have given this church for the past year. We thank you for the peace that we receive in our life during difficult times in the past. We live out the rest of our life into your hand. We do not know the future, what we'll hold, but you will hold our future, Lord. And we put our life into your hand. Please encourage us and help our faith not to be shaken. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for the love that you have spread on us. And if anyone not received this love, we pray for that person. May we understand to be your children is very blessed. Not just this life, but for everlasting life. We lift everything into your hand, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.